This time, Wi-Fi Radio. Kenny throws some serious shade.
It is documented your love of the romance genre, but this doesn't sound like trash. So why do you like it?
We experience a flashback.
It depends on how well you can handle flashbacks.
Yeah, so that's something we do need to follow.
Hold on, let's have a flashback to when we saw the movie.
And we realise why Demon Slayer's movies are such a big success.
They just saw Michael Jackson and decided to come in and watch his final.
I just miss him as a look.
Onita?
It's over 9,000!
Nani? Configure the language logic interface for Japanese.
Kawaii-fi radio!
And welcome. You tune into Wi-Fi Radio, the podcast. We dive in the world of anime, manga, and all things Japanese otaku culture. I'm Kyle. With me is Kenny and Aaron. We are back. It is time for Demon Slayer, the movie.
Which one?
Infinity Castle thing. Yes.
Part one.
The Infinity Train pulls into the Infinity Castle, part one.
Infinity Station is how we get there.
Then they get on the Infinity Boat and take it to the Infinity Island.
To get on the Infinity Plane.
Yes.
There's Infinity Planes?
Yes.
Snakes on Infinity Planes.
Infinite snakes.
Oh, God. Anyway,
I'm so tired of snakes.
Demon Slayer has been doing numbers at the cinema. It has become the number one international film at the US box office of all time. It knocked off Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Yeah.
Well,
that was number one for the longest time.
That was number one for the longest time.
Yeah. Pretty wild.
International release.
Okay, it's just...
Yeah. So
I haven't heard that name in a long time, so...
Yeah, right, fair enough.
Yeah.
But we do have news before we get stuck in. If you are a Perth resident, head to HoshiCon. It is on the 29th and 30th of November this year. We will be on stage both days doing our big anime quiz and goofing around. Aaron might even be a cat girl. We're not sure what's going on there. He's
what's
ordered
up,
some
baby
things.
Girl? What's up?
Oh, no, you should be a Dargo cat girl maid.
No, way too hard with the time frame we have.
Yeah. So, yeah, 29th, 30th of November. Tickets are available online. There are links in the episode description if you want to go check it out. We've been at every HoshiCon now.
It's a good con.
It is a great
it's
con.
It's a fantastic con.
Convention. Don't say con. It sounds like we're trying to steal people's money.
I'm trying to steal your money.
Give us your money. We'll
give
put
us
it to the
money.
Stars.
Hey, what's going on?
What's up?
I have some beachfront property to sell you in Atlantis.
It's free real estate. But look, it's always a great weekend. The place is very family friendly. This is one of Perth's premier conventions to go to for anime fans and manga fans. You will find lots of fan art, lots of stuff you can buy from... reputable retailers like
they take my money every year. It's a problem.
They always have Shumi Shop, and Shumi Shop is one of my favorites.
Yeah, also been in touch with Shumi Shop recently. They're going to be doing the prizes for our quizzes, they're just like, "How long have we got? Because we got so many people on holiday." I'm just like, "Oh, you got like 2 months," and he's like,
"Oh, do they need staff?"
Maybe. It's going to be a good weekend. It always is. We're going to be less involved than we were in the previous years. We're not going to be running the stage or anything like that just because it's exhausting and we're getting old.
But that also means that if you see us outside of the quiz, you're welcome to engage with us.
Mm-hmm. How are you going to work your shirt into that outfit? Or are you just not going to?
I'll find a way.
It'll be like Superman. He'll just...
you remember what I did for the Palettes performance?
Yeah. Yeah,
and then for our thing as well, I had my All Might on, and then I just kept stacking shirts on top. I'll make it work.
I don't know how you
did
that. That was the dead of bloody summer.
I was going to say, it's going to be summer again. You'll be very warm.
I can do it. I can do anything.
You burnt your head at my wedding. Please don't do this again.
Yes, but there's no sun inside.
This is true. But yeah, look, we're going to be there. It's going to be a great time. Details in the description. Come and join us. It'd be great to see you all. If you are new to the podcast, and you're probably wondering what we're going on about, hi.
Welcome, humans.
And also, hello to all our wonderful regular listeners. Glad to hear you there. Let's get stuck in. We have got a lot of stuff to talk about, so let's get to what we've been watching for the new season.
I have no idea how old I am or where I came from.
Daddy, ohayo.
Hey, guys, I gotta go.
I have to know.
I did the thing.
Oni-chan, nani wo miru?
What we're watching.
So, new season's here.
New season is here.
Yeah, it's a new season.
Everyone has been watching things that they didn't recommend, which is hilarious.
I already recommended those things and I've been watching them. I know. But I was like, I've already spoken about them in the last episode. I don't want to bore people by dragging the same things out. Because I could talk about Digimon forever.
Oh, no, you're good. Yeah.
But
I'm not predictable.
All right. Well, Aaron, you've been watching Past the Monster Meet M'lady.
Yes.
Which is one we thought would be interesting.
Yes. I'm sorry. The title just sounds a bit off.
No. It's so good. The title's on point.
Yeah.
So the premise is there's a duchess. And
so not a complete Dutch. It's a duchess.
Yes. And the opening scene is her just eating a little bit of pita bread on the side of the road with really nice filling. And this nobleman comes by and he's like, Miss, it looks like you're really enjoying that. And I do like trying foods I've never tried before. So would you mind if I had a bite? She's like, yeah, sure. She gives him some and he's like, the meat, the umami, it's delicious. What is this? And she's like, oh, it's... And then she names this big mad monster that people think is poisonous and the dude barfs.
This sounds pretty good.
Right?
Yeah.
But her problem is she's not married and she's getting to the age where people are being concerned because she's not married. But she's got the reputation of eating monsters. They call her the voracious villainess.
Oh.
I like that.
That's right? Good, I thought that'd be your jam.
Yeah.
And so she's at a big meeting for like all these royals and everyone else. And one of her handmaidens is like, Miss, please remember you're here to try and find a fiance. And she's like,
I'm here to try and eat food.
Yeah. No, she's going around sampling all the food. And she's like, oh, this is good. This is good. This is good. And then all of a sudden, Monster interrupts the party. And there's an old couple and they're in danger because the man broke his cane. And she's like, oh, don't worry, I'll help you. Monster appears behind you. She starts bolting. And all of a sudden, the monster's head gets cut off by one of the dukes.
Mm.
And then they start talking and find out that they both have an interest in monsters, which normally is shunned upon.
Mm-hmm.
But the more they open up to each other, the more they realize that they're both on the same level.
So what? He's like a sports hunter and she cooks the meat?
Basically, yes.
I dig it.
And so, because he's a duke and she's a duchess,
mm-hmm.
he sends a formal request to her father.
Oh.
And as such, brings a gift of an extremely rare monster still alive. He brings it to her on the wings of a dragon. If that's not a marriage proposal, I don't know what is.
I mean, it definitely is a marriage proposal, but like, woof.
But like, the thing that gets me is I love monsters.
Mm.
And so watching this, it's all new monsters we've never seen before.
Like not named monsters?
Not named monsters, exactly.
So not like just, it's a cockatrice.
No.
Again.
Like the one they start with is like a black horn, which is like a giant goat with like curly horns and then one pointed horn.
Oh, wow. So they've been quite inventive with the designs.
Yeah.
I might have to look that one up.
Yeah, right?
I saw this and I went, this is for Kenton. Kenny, he doesn't realize it yet, but this is for him.
I mean, I figured it would be. I don't know. It's just I've been sort of off the thing since, Campfire Cooking kind of basically turned into a power fantasy, which I kind of understand.
Have you watched any of season two yet?
Not yet, no.
It's back to basics, pretty chill.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good.
First episode's very chill. It's very much like, you're hungry. All right, cool. Let's cook some stuff. Oh no, we've got a new companion.
It's basically when they started taking on like ultra level deity monsters for their meat and stuff like that. It's just like, ugh.
I mean, it makes sense from like Fel's standpoint, but
I guess
if it was the main guy doing it, I'd have concerns. But Fel doing it, okay. But yeah, anyway.
Yes, so that's really good. And like the romance budding between them is really sweet as well. And like she has like this whole laboratory dedicated to figuring out how to cook monsters and the best way to cook monsters. So yes, if you're into Delicious in Dungeon, this is like an interesting little detour,
a tangent.
No, don't give us a tangent idea.
Is it tangent time?
It's a tangent time.
Pretty sure that was Crunchyroll.
Yes, indeed.
Most of them are at the moment. Yeah. There's apparently been some issues with Crunchyroll's subtitles this new season, which we'll get into later. I've also got one from Crunchyroll. It's Yano-kun's Ordinary Days. This focuses on Kyoko Yoshida. He's She is an over-anxious class representative who can't help worry about the fact that Tsuyoshi Yano, who sits beside her, comes in with bandages on every day, covered in bruises. And, you know, just in the first episode, she's, like, terrified. She's like, is he okay? Mm-hmm. What happened to him? And then there's, you know, it's... She starts falling in love for him, with him, and he's slowly, you know... becoming more interacting with the class around him because he's been
falling in love with him because he's all covered in wounds.
No. Just okay. the way he behaves and how selfless he is. Like a lot of his wounds are usually because he's either done something selfless or an accident. And aww. He doesn't want to bring other people into his unlucky world because, you know, he worries he'll get them hurt. And that's kind of the plot of it. She's like, you know, worried that he's always showing up with injuries and starts looking after him and keeping an eye on him and starts falling for him. And this is all in the first episode.
And it's
so much fun.
I don't get it. Because it is documented your love of the romance genre, mm-hmm. but this doesn't sound like trash. So why do you like it?
Okay, Blinken. So, look, funny, but not true. There's been two romance animes on the life of this podcast that have been trash that I've tested and admitted straight away that they were trash.
But you stuck to them.
One of them I stuck with, the other one I dropped. Sorry.
Domestic Rental Girlfriends.
Domestic Girlfriend was good as a story until the bait and switch at the end. They ruined that. It was tone deaf. It made no sense. But Rent-A-Girlfriend, that is...
Okay, it's great. Wow. Trash.
Like, how does that keep getting renewed and why are you people still watching it? and reading it. I don't get it.
Is such a strange little monkey.
Yeah, the guys are... A simp for his own character.
Not strange either, just different strange.
Yeah. But yeah, either way, like, this is a lot of fun. It's basically the guy's separated himself from everyone else at the school because he doesn't want to get them injured, but they all, you know, he's living a sad life because of it, even though he's a good guy and, you know, he's not bad looking, he's not moody, he's not like, you know, oh, woe is me. He's just like, eh, whatever, you know.
This is my life.
I'm just some guy. So this is like him getting brought into the social circle and, you know, them taking care of him and keeping an eye out for him and stuff. And it's really well done. It's really goofy. It's definitely a romance comedy. Like, the comedy is a very strong, like, secondary theme. It's not like, you know, it's romance with comedy when they have like one joke in three episodes. No, this is like kind of gag goofy comedy all throughout the whole thing.
Oh, cool.
While still having that high quality animation to go back to. Very similar how they do it with like Dress Up Darling, where they have like the goofy scene where it's like really weird and then go back to normal animation. So like, it's really well done. I really like it so far. I've watched two episodes. Can recommend it. Crunchyroll as well for this one. And then Kenny, you've been watching the show that Aaron watches, which is the Kamen Rider one.
Tojima wants to be a Kamen Rider.
Can he tell us about this?
Well, there's this guy Tojima.
Uh-huh.
He wants to be a Kamen Rider.
Uh-huh.
But Kamen Riders don't exist.
What?
So he has to make it up.
But then how the TV shows exist if Kamen Riders don't exist? Obviously they had to film someone doing something.
Don't make me turn your mic off.
Yes, it's, he can't be a Kamen Rider because he doesn't have the magic belt. I also have a confession to make because I know that my D&D mates, I've spruiked my podcast to them and they only listen to it occasionally, especially when I mention things like Kamen Rider and stuff. I have been training one of them to shout belts whenever he sees Kamen Rider.
Belts?
Yes.
Not Henshin?
No, belt. Right. Because the theme with the Kamen Rider tech is that it's all mostly belt-based.
Yes.
Except chest-based this time.
This is JoJo.
Is JoJo. And so every time he would post a Kamen Rider clip in the group chat, I would just shout in all caps, BELTS! And then he has started doing it. And I've slowly been training him to, every time he sees a Kamen Rider thing, shout, BELTS!
See, that's the fun thing about Kamen Rider. Because you can influence the fans. No. See,
this sounds evil.
It is. Because you know how I have my cosplay son, Tomble.
Uh-huh.
And he's a Kamen Rider fan.
Fair enough. I mean, the costumes in that are amazing. Of course,
yes,
you would
they
want,
are.
Of course, you'd want to cosplay that.
Yes. He hasn't yet, unfortunately.
It's a big
but
job.
There's. We're familiar with Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
Incineroar.
Yep, so the wrestling fighting cat.
Uh-huh. Mm. Looks a lot like Kamen Rider Wizard.
Okay.
Okay.
And so I have just started replacing Incineroar and Kamen Rider Wizard on photos to mess with him.
I like that.
I mean, okay.
And so whenever he posts Kamen Rider, I go, that's a cool Incineroar. And then we post Incineroar and go, look at this Kamen Rider. Oh,
diabolical.
Look, it's just Kamen Rider fans are very, very passionate, as is evident by the characters in this show.
Absolutely.
And thus they kind of get tunnel vision and they don't notice when you're sort of directing them on a certain course.
Uh-huh. I mean, look, they're bugs. The Kamen Riders were initially bugs. Mm-hmm. It's weird how they've evolved into. I think the one before this one was a candy-eating one.
Yes.
And then the one before that was...
The belt would eat candies and turn his suit into candy-based
It's all
armor.
About merchandising, guys.
It yeah. is all about merchandising.
The one before that was stamps that would turn him into two people, Ree and Vice. Oh, sorry, Revy and Vice. And it was called Kamen Rider Revice.
Of course it is.
The one before that, it was all based on, like, 90s video game sprites.
Oh, yeah, that one was fun. X-Aid.
Yay.
Yeah.
The one before that was Fruit.
Okay, we're moving right along. Tajina wants to be a Kamen Rider on Crunchyroll. It's good fun. Not for all ages, as it turns out.
We kind of didn't really talk about that, sorry.
No, so guy dedicates his life to Kamen Rider, hits about 40, realizes, I can't live this way anymore. Like, sells all of his merch, gets rid of everything. Mm-hmm. And the dude he sells it to is like, are you sure this is like really good limited edition merch? And he's like, look, I'm never going to use it, and I don't want people to find my body surrounded by Kamen Rider stuff. And then all of a sudden...
Delete my search history! It's all Kamen Rider!
Yeah, basically. And so he spends the entire time going, I wish Shocker was real so I could fight them. And then all of a sudden, these crimes involving people who are pretending to be Shocker start happening. And so he's like, wow, that's weird. And then he's at a festival where they do it again. And he buys a Kamen Rider mask.
Like, we're talking one of the, like, thin plastic with the edges.
Typical Matsuri mask.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And so he puts it on and he feels energy coursing through him. He does the henshin and then he pummels them.
Like, the fight scene is actually glorious.
It's beautiful.
And the music that accompanies it is just, ooh, hypes you up.
Yeah, no, genuinely worth a watch. And then episode one ends with someone else who's really invested in Kamen Rider going, what do you mean he's just wearing a mask? I've got the whole costume here. I've dedicated myself to this and he's come out with just that.
But yeah, looking at the cover art for the show, it's going to be more than a couple of them. They're forming a team.
Yes,
yeah.
There is a team.
Yeah, there's the Five? Team and then there's, well, the fifth one I believe is a villain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so. Yeah, it's it shows him sort of like training up his punchy nature in the woods. And then he encounters a bear and he fights the bear.
He fist fights the bear. And the bear is like, hold up, I thought this was a regular dude.
In Viking lore, that is one of the ways to get into Valhalla is fist fighting a bear. So
I mean, it's certainly
do you have to win?
That part's a bit vague.
All right, time to go to the woods.
What could go wrong?
I mean, I get into Valhalla either way.
We're in Australia, so we're gonna.
I could find a bear.
We're gonna have to fist fight koala bears.
Oh, that's not really a fight.
I don't want chlamydia.
Yeah. Okay, well,
next.
If you're watching something interesting, pop it in the comments section. There's a lot more that we're watching, but we keep it to one an episode to drag it out across the season, so it keeps it interesting for you.
If you're fist fighting koala bears, drop that in the comments section. I'm fascinated.
Kawaii Fire Radio.
We'll be there on time. Just 20 minutes of ads.
Cinema Club.
This is a good episode.
So I did arrive 20 minutes late for Infinity Castle and their ads were still going. So it still holds true.
Same here.
Oh, that's fantastic. Because yeah. I was going to say, if you need it, I know a place where you can watch it.
Yeah, so unofficially, the whole thing's on TikTok. Didn't hear it from us.
It's the dub, parts. So there's Channing Tatum. So
there's Tating Channums. So
he's not naked in this one.
Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, the movie, Infinity Castle Part 1. God, it's a mouthful. They could have gone something shorter, but they didn't.
Fate Grand Order of the Infinity Castle.
It actually goes. It's actually longer. Part 1, Akaza Returns.
Okay.
So, oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it's actually like, it's a full sentence.
Wait a second, he didn't return. Oh, yeah, he did.
He did.
He technically returned.
He took the train to the castle.
Yeah. Sorry, it's all those demons look alike to me.
Kenny.
So,
I wish that they had have kind of told us what this movie was going to be about. It's got demon slaying in this castle that goes on infinitely.
Wow. And Akaza shows up too. Wow.
I wish there was more of a, like, clear line of what was going to happen. Nice.
Right? Yeah. Now, if only I had watched the anime and seen this coming.
We did mention that in the previous episode, we did mention that this episode will have some spoilers for the film in it. They're not going to go into, like, the big spoilers. We're not going to go into, like...
Dumbledore dies.
Turns out Darth Vader was the killer in 7.
Oh, yes. Wow. So we're not going to go into, like, you know, any of the major spoilers, but the overarching story has been fairly well, I'd say, shared.
I mean, look, the manga did this how many years ago?
Three. Mm-hmm.
3 years ago. Yeah. If you really, really wanted to, like I did after finishing Infinity Train, you could know what's going on.
Has it only been 3 years? Huh?
Since the manga ended, yeah. Maybe it's two. Hang on. I'll find out for you. I've got it open right here.
I know it was done by the time I finished the movie. The Infinity Train movie. But, like, wasn't that... No, that was definitely post-COVID.
But, yeah, Infinity Train has been doing, like... gangbuster numbers.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
like,
there we go. 2020.
Around the world.
Maybe finished in 2020.
Like what? It cost $150 million to make, and it's made $650 million worldwide. 130 of that in the US.
It's not even that. It cost $20 million to make.
Oh, right. Really?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it made 130 in just America. And
it's at 650 million box office latest figures. So
that is absolutely destroying.
And it hasn't even opened everywhere. Southeast Asia hasn't opened.
That's some good money. Mm-hmm.
So considering our earlier conversation about Tron.
Pre-show for that.
Check out Patreon. Our Patreon.
We say the naughty words in the pre-show.
Yeah, Jared Leto, that's the naughty words.
anyway.
How dare you say that on stream?
I know, how dare I say
You're
that?
You're going to have to edit that out.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You've got to put quack sound effects over it.
It's like every time we say Jared Leto.
No.
But in all seriousness, Demon Slayer's done really well. It has become the most, like, highest earning film in US cinema for an international release. So an international, like, non-English language film, which is wild. And good on him. Like, it is good. Like, is Demon Slayer held up by its art? Yes. Is it still an excellent experience and a good story? Yes. Mm-hmm. It's not a bad story. It's just a story that you can kind of figure out.
It depends on how well you can handle flashbacks.
Yeah, so that's something we do need to fall on.
Hold on, let's have a flashback to when we saw the movie.
Wow. What a flashback. I was so tempted to put that, you know, coming in, coming out, don't go see me crazy now.
Wait, I'm still having a flashback. I think I'm in the wrong one.
Yeah.
Demon Hunter's the one with Ichigo fighting in Hollows.
No, it's
okay, sorry. Wrong,
stop. Sorry, anyway.
I love that there's enough space up there for you to put a bubble and just like the monkey symbols.
I might have to do that, actually. Yeah.
Don't go out of your way.
I will go out of my way. So look, first things first, and like the most obvious thing, which is not a spoiler, is that every time they decide that they're going to do a movie for Demon Slayer, they take it to the next level. Hmm. And Infinity Castle's no exception. This is probably the most seamless blending of CG and borderline realistic animation I've ever seen with traditional artwork. It is so well done.
Demon Slayer's fight scenes, the animation quality that goes in for that, it's like, mm-hmm. I haven't felt my eyes melt like that since Promare. It's nice.
The soundtrack as well.
Soundtrack's really well done.
The fight between Shinobu and the Ice Fan guy. The soundtrack on that, like, I've had to go back and listen to it multiple times because I just, ooh, it almost gives Blade Entering the Nightclub vibes.
Oh yeah.
you know the song.
I was waiting for like the synths to come in.
Right?
It was just like, where's it coming? Where is it? Is it Doma, the Ice guy?
Yes, Doma.
Yeah, Doma. But yeah, so the story kind of looks at three of the upper demons. Through, is it just three that we see in this?
Yep, it's three of the five.
Three of the five, and then five or six?
Five. There's
we've lost one of them already, haven't we? One of them was defeated in the village arc.
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's sword, which is number one.
Yep.
Guitar.
Yep.
There's
guitar or thing.
The lady. Shamisen thing.
Yeah.
Lightning Boy, Dorma, and Akaza.
Yeah.
Those were the five remaining.
Mm. So we have three fights. Three
conflicts.
It's not even just three fights. There's a lot of fights because obviously they're running through the demon castle. They're fighting all the demons.
Yes.
That like the low level demons as well.
I love the sense of scale they give to the castle as well.
It's like it's infinite.
Yeah.
No. But it's like there's a couple of moments of it, and I'm like, the skyline that we're seeing here looks like we should be in like a cyberpunk film. Like,
that's the thing. It's like the human mind is not generally built to accommodate the concept of an infinity. Mm. So the fact that they actually gave that sense of ridiculous scale to this is just
especially
like, yes!
In that part where they condensed it all into a cube and then had it all come out.
Yeah, the hypercube moment.
That was pretty good.
Like, that was like, little thing just became big thing, and little thing was already big thing.
It's bigger on the inside.
And on the outside, too. So, yeah, look, there's three major conflicts in this, but you do get to see all of the other, the two other lead demons. Mm-hmm. They aren't necessarily involved in conflicts at the time, or if they are, they're like kicking everyone's butt, so it doesn't matter. They're just kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Oh, the two that aren't fighting?
Yeah.
No, they're just waiting.
They're aura farming.
Oh, Kenny.
I said the kids thing. I'm down with the kids. They're I'm hip and funky fresh.
Yeah, yeah, 6'7 and all that stuff.
6'7.
It's well done. Like, it doesn't feel like there's too much content, even though the film is long. Like, it's 2.5 hours.
A lot of flashbacks.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of flashbacks. Everyone gets a flashback.
You get a flashback.
You beat me to it.
Yay. When you think about it, like every demon who's fighting has a flashback. Every
demon that's ever fought has a flashback.
This is true, actually.
Yeah.
This is true. Well, every major demon, not obviously, we don't get little flashbacks for the little ones. But,
no, some of them we do. Not in the movie.
Not in the movie. In the manga we do. But yeah, it's like everyone has a backstory, and it's like, I understand why it's done, because these people have become demons not out of necessarily choice, but out of desperation in the most cases.
Some
haven't. Some did it for the sake of it.
Yeah.
I still dislike the fact that, you know, number one and Tanjiro have that connection, which is never explained. But
it kind of is.
No, it's not.
Yeah, number one was a twin.
But for how long ago?
Very long time ago.
Yeah.
And so, twin didn't turn into a demon, but had the sun breathing.
Yeah.
And then babies.
Yeah, but didn't the brother... Wasn't the brother also able to do sun breathing?
Both of them could do something.
Anyway, we're getting off on the tangent here.
Yeah, I was going to say, we don't want to be giving out spoilers.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, like, there's a lot that could be, I think, in the manga could have been clearer, because a lot of the stuff that was kind of implied, and I don't know if this is just to do with the translation, is not fully explained, and it has to kind of rely on external statements from the mangaka to fully finalize everything.
Here's the thing I actually want to explore about this is that Infinity Castle, it's not really like, this is not a spot for people to just sort of like enter the series in on.
No.
This is after a whole lot of plot. And yet, I'll remind you guys, it made gangbuster figures across the world.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, a lot of people have been keeping up with the manga, or a lot of people went in and are terribly confused.
They just saw Michael Jackson and decided to come in and watch his final.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But it's...
I just miss him as all.
God. Oh, what have I?
Brain cells vibing today, boys.
They're on the same monkey wavelength.
That's a seal.
Baby.
And then obviously Blade walks in. So.
So like something that's not really made obvious that I think I should touch on is, you know, the Thunder Demon guy.
Yeah.
He was actually at, do you remember who Gyome is?
Vaguely.
The Stone Hashira?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
The one who had the orphanage?
Yeah.
The orphanage that got attacked by a demon?
Right.
The lightning demon was part of that orphanage
and when he was human. Also part of that orphanage, yeah.
And then he got kicked out for stealing. And when he got kicked out, a demon found him and he made a deal where if the demon didn't kill him, he'd show him where the orphanage is and he can eat all the kids. And Gyome got blamed for that. And then after that, that kid then went to go train thunder breathing with the old man.
And then agreed to join the demons again.
Yes.
Wow, just... wretched creature.
Yes. Yeah.
Wretched, horrible
Which,
person.
Like, they don't really, like, touch on it, but if you look through the series, you see him.
Mm.
So, like, I make this point to tell everybody when they see it.
Maybe this is just my experience as a Dark Souls player, but I kind of like the fact that little things like that aren't explained. That they require that bit of detective work to go,
But, like, hearing that, you're like, oh... I wish Zenitsu killed him again.
Mm-hmm. Fight him again. Do it. But yeah, it's a good film.
It's like, such a good film.
It was fun.
It's bulk standard what you'd expect, but the animation quality, as I said, has got even higher. The music's got even better. And the pacing was really good aside from, like, even the flashbacks, while they did slow down the fights, they were important story elements.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's the thing. It is following the manga. It is telling the manga story.
It's skipping some bits of it. It's made it better because of it. Like, I wonder if that's made it more streamlined.
Restructured and a bunch of that is going to be in the next one.
It might be.
Well, it's because this one's going to have three major fights. The first one. The second one's going to have three major fights.
Mm-hmm.
One of them's carrying over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bet you guys didn't see that coming.
I reckon number one's fight will carry over from 2 to 3.
You reckon?
And then that, actually no.
Because I reckon they'll
number
kill...
Number twos. So the sitar thing.
Shamisen.
I think that'll have to carry over, or that is the end point where it happens, because obviously they're using their demon arts to create the castle.
Yeah. I reckon the third movie is just going to be the final battle, and that's going to take a long time.
Yeah.
She's a load-bearing boss. They kill her. The whole thing's going to start collapsing.
Literally, yes.
Well, yeah, because I reckon movie number two is going to start with the fight against the one surviving one from the first movie, and then number one.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's going to lead into the Shamisen one.
Because
I don't remember entirely the timeline.
Me either. Like, the order it's in can be changed. And because a lot of it's happening at the same time. But obviously, if you're doing it in a manga, you don't want to put, like, 5 pages of this fight and 5 pages of that fight and 5 pages of that fight in.
That's the thing.
Weekly.
It's like, I am so used to the old days of anime movies, like Naruto and stuff like that, where they were their own self-contained thing.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing all these, like, anime movies, which are sort of like, okay, canonical? We're taking a massive section of the manga... Okay, have fun.
I mean, like, we should be used to that now with Dragon Ball.
I suppose, yes.
Like, Dragon Ball did that originally where it was, you know, none of the films were canon. But then when we got to
Battle of the Gods,
we decided, that was then like, no, this is now canon and we will actually adapt that into the series so you know it's canon.
Yeah.
And that was a bad move because that made the first season of Super really dull.
Yes. Yes.
But
and then Resurrection F, and then Broly, and then Super.
Mm-hmm. I want Super to come back. I want that story to continue.
Oh, man. It's getting good.
The manga's good.
Real good.
So, yeah. But obviously, like, you know, we'll see.
Did you know it's been 8 years since Super last ended an episode?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We've had Daima since then, but my understanding is that Daima ends and that's it done.
Yeah.
So.
I'm pretty sure Daima's like its own contained timeline.
No, it's meant to be in
is
between.
Is that supposed to be sort of like a Dragon Ball GT thing?
Oh, it's, kinda. Goku's a kid again, and they're Super Saiyan 4. So
yeah, they made a lot of stuff.
To GT. Oh no!
It's like this time it's canon. It's like okay, but
what
then
what is this timeline?
My understanding is, because I haven't finished it yet, is that it kind of sits where GT does in the timeline, and then what happened is because of the way the things they're doing in the story, because they have to go into a demon realm for it, as opposed to a parallel world or anything. The Super Saiyan 4 can only be done in that environment. So that's how they lock it.
Okay.
Right.
Whoever says multiverse first is getting a cover up.
It's not multiverse. It's not multiverse.
He said it first.
Well, it's the same thing as like going to train at the Kai's world. It's the opposite end of the Kai's. It's the demon world.
The hyperbolic time chamber.
So, where Krillin and the Namekian, not Krillin, where the Namekians came from, and Piccolo. Yeah. So it's their world that they're going into.
And Lord Slug.
Lord Slug.
No.
But yeah, anyway, Demon Slayer is the new Dragon Ball. We'll get used to it.
That's one of the fun things about Demon Slayer, because a lot of people go, anime's for kids. In a lot of places, this movie was rated R.
Yeah.
And it's done these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think people who are like, anime's for kids, are losing their ground on this one.
Oh, anime for kids fans have always been losing their ground.
Like, I mean, yeah, look.
Look at Perfect Blue.
Chainsaw Man.
Well, no, we can go back even further. Like, Dororo from, like, when they did the adaptation of that 10 years ago. And when they've done, actually, it wasn't even 10 years ago. It was 5 years ago. Even Neon Genesis wasn't for kids.
Ninja Scroll.
That's definitely not for kids.
I remember watching that one when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It's animated. What could be wrong with that?
Oh, no. Yeah, like, that wasn't for the kids to begin with. It's people just think animation is for kids, and it's like, you're wrong. You've been wrong since the beginning of animation. Anyway, so the one thing I do want to, there is one thing I wanted to talk about for this film, which I think's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how they did the flashbacks. And Tifa mentioned this in the chat.
With
before.
Channing Tatum, yes.
Yeah. Oh, I want to talk about Channing Tatum, but we'll get to that in a minute. But
yeah, because you didn't get to experience it.
No, so I watched the sub version. Me and Emma went and watched the sub version in cinemas, and it was really good. And the voice acting in the sub is really good.
Oh, I've watched both.
Yeah.
I've gone to the cinemas twice to watch both.
Yeah. Like, voice acting in the sub is really good. The dub looks really good too, from what I've seen.
Saw the dub. It was good.
Yeah. So they've done a really good job with this. The thing, though, is that the way... I've completely lost my train of thought.
Flashbacks.
The way the flashbacks are done... Thank you. I'm having a flashback.
Sorry, I had to flashback.
The way the flashbacks are done, depending on the flashback, on how important it is, they put a lot of effort into integrating it into the natural flow of the film. So it's not just instantly you change scenes.
It's not like one of those wiggly transitions either.
Yeah, the all going and yeah, like, you know, they're doing the jazz hands in the background going, shah!
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Wow. So the way
that
they do it
reminds me of something my father said once.
So
we only have 2 minutes until this thing explodes. Here's a 5 minute flashback.
So like, they're not doing those sort of things. They're quite well involved in the story. Like, they will use something to connect the scene in the real world to the past, whether that's an audio cue or a visual cue, or they will do a serious visual enhancement to get to it. So it will be like, you know, a brush of like petals flowing through in the guy's imagination, like because he's been punched really hard, and then to use that to transition into the flashback, as opposed to just, here's the flashback.
He got hit so hard he got sent into his own flashback. It was great.
Yeah. And it's funny because the girls who were sitting behind us kept going, another flashback.
Are you sure that wasn't just Kenny?
Where were you on Saturday at 12:30?
Look at this ugly face. You reckon I can disguise myself as a girl?
Yes.
You're a very handsome person.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon you can do anything you put your mind to.
No.
Pretty.
Hang on, we've got a maid dress on the way. You want to try it out?
No.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really like, for how many flashbacks there are in this film, for the most part, they're done well. And they're not useless flashbacks either.
You are getting a full
Important backstory.
You're basically getting a pair of movies.
There might be a bit too much backstory, I feel. Like,
It does feel like that because you lose the flow of the fight because you get so wrapped up in these flashbacks. And it's then like it comes back to the fight and you're like, oh yeah!
You see this guy's entire tragic thing of how he lost family and friends, and then it's just like, and then I went into business and bought myself a 7-Eleven. And then that burned down. And so I found this dog in the wreckage. And then the dog died.
It's to your eternity.
It's to your eternity.
Yeah, Kenny's getting confused with season 3 of To Your Eternity.
So much pain.
So many flashbacks. But yeah, look, it's a bit weird and it's a bit too much flashback. So when you go in, like, do be prepared for that. But the overall story is good. Mm-hmm. It's just a shame that these flashbacks kind of hamper the pacing in some parts. Not all of it, but like...
That is visually crazy.
It gives you perspective on characters that normally you wouldn't have enjoyed and turned them into a favorite character.
Yeah, this is true.
I have seen so many people go, that's now my favorite. Yes, I will defend him, even though he's done horrific things.
Well, everyone's doing that except for Black Lightning. So,
yeah, Black Lightning was just bad.
Yeah, so, yeah. But I don't remember his actual name. I just remember that, you know, you've got Zenitsu, who's Yellow Lightning, and this guy is Black Lightning.
I keep hearing Black Dynamite.
Shh, you wake him.
Kids, don't Google that.
But like, you know, like the other characters have interesting backgrounds. Domo, I don't feel pity for him.
Oh no, you're not meant to. And the next movie is going to make you hate him even more.
Yeah, awesome. He's awful.
He's terrible. But his comeuppance. They comeuppance.
They get comeuppance.
I love comeuppance.
I love muffins. Let's get a McGriddle now.
Stop. I had one of those. It was terrible, and now I want another one. What the hell?
I'll join you. Let's go get a McGriddle for breakfast. It's going to be awful.
God, fine.
People on American TikTok are like, Australia, you can finally try the McGriddle. And all the Australians are replying, yeah, it sucks.
Look, I'll just take the egg out of it. I just love the egg.
Yeah, the Macca's. Anyone who works for upper management at Macca's, bring back the big breakfast in Australia, you cowards.
Do egg. It. It was the best thing on your menu. Why did you get rid of it?
Egg.
Wonder egg. Where's the priority now?
No. Especially not while we're talking about movies.
Oh, yeah. That's a bat. That was a bat. It wasn't really a film, though. It was just like an hour special. It was an hour disappointment.
It was an hour of something.
Yeah.
It was a different kind of special. Yeah. The kind of special that you... There you go.
Not Jujutsu Kaisen special. Which, by the way, Jujutsu Kaisen has a sequel. Don't know if we've mentioned that in the manga, but there's a futuristic Jujutsu Kaisen now.
I think I did mention it.
Yeah. Basically, skip ahead to the grandchildren, and it's obviously become more futuristic.
Yeah, Tifa and I were telling you about it. Yeah,
and now there's aliens who are also sorcerers coming to invade the planet.
So, awesome. Think Jujutsu Kaisen meets Dandadan.
Yeah.
Nice.
The crossover we never knew we needed. I've got a great manga to talk about as well. I should have talked about that in the pre-show.
Author found the mushrooms.
No, we just read Gantz. Because that's exactly what happened in Gantz. It went from like weird creatures to aliens to interplanetary invasion.
Did you see the live action movie of Gantz?
No.
The Japanese live action?
I haven't seen, but I did
not
see
bad.
One of the first movies me and Emma watched when we first started going out was Gantz Zero at hers, and I'd never seen it before. That was the CG one. It was phenomenal.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yeah, it was.
I like
amazing.
Spring onions.
I like. Why are you talking about spring onions?
But anyway, back to Demon Slayer. don't say that.
Man, I was a different person back then.
Yeah, well, I also remember when I was in Sydney, I tried to get a copy of it.
Green onions? Haven't heard that name in a long time.
That brings back a memory, a core memory. But
a corn memory.
That's not a green onion. Anyway, Demon Slayer is still going to be at the cinemas for a couple of weeks internationally. It's still in cinemas here in Australia, at least at the time of recording, probably till this Thursday, but I think we're finally getting to the end of the run. I think Southeast Asia is starting to get more and more screenings of it. Some areas have got it, some areas haven't. South America, I believe, has it, and I don't think India's got it yet. I could be wrong. If any of our listeners are in India, let us know if it's open there in the cinemas yet. I just know that it had a delayed release there. So I don't know if it's already out yet, something we need to look into. But it's doing numbers, and rightly so. It is a shame that Aniplex are doing distribution, because Sony. but it's being distributed by Crunchyroll, and we've got so many things beef to so much beef that we could, you know, open a restaurant.
I have heard rumors that the next part for the Demon Slayer movie is coming out 2027, and then the final one's 2029.
Jeez,
so that's like 2 year gaps.
Wow.
So
that's
well, I mean, look, they've got to get time to animate it properly without crunching them, and like they've got other projects at the same time. Like, so I understand it, but like,
I don't want to wait that long.
Yeah.
Some person has given it 1 star on IMDb.
Too many flashbacks?
Not enough fan service.
Everyone's marked it down.
What do you say?
The new Demon Slayer film is a perfect example of style over substance, the parade of cliches, inexplicable power-ups, and shallow derivative abilities poorly lifted from better shonen titles. Bro, you haven't watched this at Oval at all.
He just wanted to be angry on the internet.
Look, someone has said too many flashbacks.
I just bet that guy's just like, Tanjiro couldn't beat Goku.
No, he couldn't. That's not the point.
Yeah, a lot of people are whinging about it, and it's tough. You can go and complain in your corner, and we're going to enjoy it.
You have been warned. There's flashbacks. They're part of the story. It's good.
Yeah.
Genuinely, it's good
regardless.
Good. Yeah, like it's...
By the time the next one comes out, you'll have to have flashbacks about this.
I'm a level with you. The people who are complaining about this are the people who put Attack on Titan as their number one anime of all time. So, like,
you don't get opinions.
Kawaii Fire Radio.
Tonight on Anime Communique.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Nothing brings ratings up like a little controversy.
I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. It was too good of a spot to cross over. There's some controversy for you.
Yeah, apparently Aaron's starting fights.
In the comments.
Come to the comments. Fight with us.
So, as always, leading the charge on controversies, it's Crunchyroll again. Who would have thought? Crunchyroll has cited internal system problems for regarding subtitles for the fall 2025 anime, claiming the issues were not caused by any change in how we create subtitles, use of new vendors, or AI, despite already being caught for using AI and firing staff from that team. So, yeah.
Just don't hire people to do the job.
Y'all want to try again with your excuses? Yeah. Or?
I've got the full response that Crunchyroll sent to ANN in regards to subtitle issues. So some of the subtitles for the new anime for this season have changed in terms of typesetting, font, and size. So they're all over the shop. Continuing anime do not appear to have been affected by it. So ANN reached out to them to find out. That's Anime News Network. Over the past few days, some users experienced delays in accessing the content they wanted and subtitle issues across certain series. This is the response by Crunchyroll, just to clarify. They were caused by internal system problems, not by any change in how we create subtitles, use of new vendors or AIs. These internal issues have now been fully resolved. Quality subtitles are a core part of what makes watching anime on Crunchyroll so special. Do you want to explain why you had a ChatGPT marker in last season? Yeah. They connect global fans to the heart of every story, and we take responsibility seriously. Thank you for your patience. We're committed to continuing to deliver authentic quality and care that fans deserve.
This isn't the first time they've had controversy with subtitles.
Well, they also laid off many people in August. Yeah. And some employees expanded their scope from that, and others got new role assignments. And then
and there was
plans
also
to
the
build
whole...
engineering hubs in the US, Mexico, and India to spark innovation and fuel transformation.
AI.
Whenever they're doing that, it's AI at the moment. Sony has gone all in on AI. Like, don't let them tell you otherwise. You have a look at Sony's earning calls. Like, get the translated version. It's all AI. It's all AI, NFTs. They're so far behind the curve. It's NFTs. Very typical. Look, Japan still hasn't let go of NFTs.
How?
It's insane. I don't know how. So
I right click and save your JPEG.
I right click and save them all.
Jesus. Oh, that's a nice little monkey.
So yeah, look, it's just weird. I don't get it. Like, cause Sony is still pushing NFTs for PS5 and like for internal games, and no one's paying it or going for
PC it. Master Race wins again.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not looking good. Apparently, issue has been resolved, but I don't think. Many people on social media had speculated as part of this in the last week that Crunchyroll had switched from Aegis subs to the Israeli-based Una for subtitles starting with a full season. ANN asked Crunchyroll about whether the previously used Aegis subs switched to Una. They only gave ANN the above statement. So, yes, they did. did not comment on what subtitle program it had used in the past or is currently using. The issue is that, and this is something that needs to be clarified as well, subtitles don't necessarily come from every studio. They there's no need for them to create subtitles for the domestic market. That is handled by the broadcasters. So the broadcasters create the subtitle file and share it between them. And the studios themselves and the production house just handle putting the stuff out. So Crunchyroll, depending on the studio they go through, Crunchyroll doesn't necessarily get a subtitle file that they then go to translate. In the case of using AI for it, the AI has to listen, will get things wrong, and write that down in English. So
if they don't have someone checking what the AI does.
Yeah.
That's...
No, because then that means they have to hire people, and if they were going to hire people, they may as well get somebody to write the subtitles themselves.
Bloody corpos.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Look, I'm sure more of this is going to come to light as things go. I'm...
Back to fan subs.
I'm sticking with fan subs.
Look, honestly, I miss the YouTube fan subs with like the fun little fonts and everything. Like the Orin High School one with like little hearts and stuff in it.
I told you about that, the fan subs for that, what do you call it? The Japanese Mahjong. The Mahjong, like, parlor. It's the group of girls. They all hang out in the Mahjong parlor. They literally made, what do you call it? Like, lippity-riz sort of style subtitles for it. Completely rewrote it. Changed how the characters were interacting. It made it so much more watchable than the original. It's literally like
ghost stories.
Yeah, it was so much better.
Why aren't we doing that for Halloween?
Well, because I think our Halloween Patreons have voted for ecchi horror. Yeah.
What are we doing?
I don't know. We're about to find out. So look, we'll get to that. Might be a surprise. We've only got one vote in there the last time I checked. I need to check after we've recorded this. So we'll move on from the mess that's Crunchyroll and move to Manga Planet, which is also a bit of a controversy. So Manga Planet is going to shut down its digital platform. They have announced that they are going to focus on print releases and need to switch to that due to various circumstances like recent restrictions from payment processes and the changing online landscape. Yep. I.e., you know, the same issue we're having in the games industry as well, where payment processes are dictating what we can and cannot use their process for.
Process the payment, you payment processes. That's exactly what you're for.
It's your only job. We don't care. No one, if someone buys content, they're not going to go, oh yes, MasterCard supports this. No, MasterCard just let me access my money. That's it. You don't have a reputation other than being a pain when you do things like this. So, interestingly,
of all
though,
the people I'm being morally lectured to, it's from a money lender.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, even if you go into the bank to get money out, they're like, "Why are you getting this money out?" And it's like, "Because it's my money."
Yeah. Well, none of your business.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy donuts.
I know why the bank has to ask
scams.
That. The scammers and old ladies and all that stuff getting ripped off. So, but basically, back to what's going on with Manga Planet. So they've been impacted by that. It's going to shift focus to its print releases through its label and Futekiya imprints. Now, this is going to start on October 31st. They're no longer offer points or 3, 6, 12 month passes for purchases. And then on February next year, February 28th, sales of 1 week and 1 month passes will halt until the digital platform's closure. Customers can use their points for purchases and read content until their passes expire. Support for pass refunds will end in late April. However, there'll be no refunds on points or content. Basically, it was like... what's the one where you get coins and use it to buy the new thing? I think it was like Webtoon or
Bitcoin.
No, it's like basically that you'd buy a subscription. That subscription will give you access to almost everything, but you get a set amount of currency. Same sort of principle as like Audible, where you get like, you know, access to the whole catalog, and you can use points to buy this, you know, one that is not part of it every month because it's like, you know, in the back catalog, stuff like that.
Game Pass,
pretty much, but like okay, but good.
Well, it's like Time Zone when, like, you get the thing and it's like, okay, well, we'll give you 30 minutes of time, but also we'll give you $20 of credit because that 30 minutes of time doesn't let you play on these games.
Yeah.
but $20 allows you to play on those games.
So, yeah. So, look,
you've spent more time at Time Zone than I have, yes.
Yeah.
I have $150 on my card and like 30,000 tickets on it.
I need to find my card.
We need Time Zone Day.
Time Zone Day.
Time Zone Day. Yeah.
Emerald will go too. She loves Time Zone.
Oh man, times are so good. The drum,
the taiko thing, which we did at my Bugstar, and I was so bad at.
Taiko no Tatsujin is so good.
I'm a musician. I just cannot get the taiko thing working. It's just like I've got rhythm when it comes to guitar, when it comes to drums, bass, keys.
You were also drinking.
Yeah, quite a bit actually.
Exactly.
Yeah, just give me Time Crisis. I'll be fine.
Yeah,
that one's good too.
So. The interesting thing about this whole situation with Manga Planet is that the payment method provider Stripe would no longer make payments to them due to R18 content on the service. So same issue here. And their account with Stripe was suspended and banned, which is a joke. Mm-hmm. They also stated that, you can't renew your passes or anything that, but they're trying to find a way through this. So look, if you are in an area where Manga Planet do have their... physical publications, support them, because the issue is going to be that if we don't support these groups, they're going to go out of business. So
support the people that support you. Do good business with the people who do good business. Otherwise, you will only know the corpos.
Yeah.
And they will do bad business with you, always.
So over the past few years, numerous sites and services in Japan have had to disallow various payments from various services, including Visa and MasterCard, due to customers being refused through the service. However, I can let you know that as part of this, there is now a local Japanese competitor designed just for in Japan, and all of these groups are flocking to it, and everyone's buying it.
Say more.
I can't remember the name. I saw it on a Reddit thread about the thing, and they linked to the site. But basically, all of these services, so Nico Nico, Melon Books, DL Site, Fantia, Fanzo, those sort of services, which are more adult-oriented, are all starting to adopt this service, which is basically like Stripe. So it's not requiring a credit card, but they handle the process in the interim and then pass the money between the factions without there being a...
Oh, so we're not going to have to go create offshore bank accounts that don't get taxed, that are definitely legal.
Definitely not in the Cayman Islands. So yeah, there's a lot going on here, but this could, flow over to effect like manga that, if Visa gets lobbied heavily by this, what is it, Thingy Voice, Collective Shout group, who is just basically a Christian front, who don't like anything they don't like. And they're lying about what they're actually... They're like, oh, we told them to take stuff which is illegal off the platform. It's like, no. This is stuff that's legal. There is... Nothing illegal has been removed. Mm-hmm. There never was anything illegal to be removed.
Pearl clutches.
Exactly.
Well, it's funny that they call themselves Shout, or whatever Shout it is, because it's always the loudest, dumbest idiots that control how things go.
One of those people's based in Perth. She got death threats. Death threats are not the answer, but... she should have seen this coming.
Yeah.
Like, you impacting a lot of people's livelihoods across a lot of industries by pushing for this because you're a pearl clutcher.
These people don't need to involve themselves in our business, but they really, really want to be part of all our lives.
Religion should never be a part of business.
It shouldn't. It shouldn't.
It's even stated in the Bible.
Yeah.
Like, guys, your book says it.
Mm-hmm. But they don't read it. That's the problem.
Yeah. They just make up what they want to and then fight for that.
It's not an exciting book.
It is, though.
Did you know Jesus dies at the end?
Not even at the end, like halfway through. Like
then Revelations, which is when they were smoking the weed up on the mountains.
That's when you get the seven-headed dragon.
Yeah, that's some
dude,
wild
have
stuff.
You read Psalms?
Psalms are wild.
They sing about so much, like...
Yeah, not good. Not.
I think one was like, oh, your teeth are like a flock of sheep and then your bosoms are like towers or something.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I had to do religious education in high school and I blocked a lot of that out.
My aunt sent me to like every religious camp and training and everything.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't fight me in the comments on this subject. I don't want to.
When it comes to religion, we'd rather not fight. Like, everyone's allowed to have their own opinion.
Just don't force it on other people.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
Controversy.
Moving on to more controversy, Chainsaw Man, the movie, Rezark. No, it's fine. It's at number one in the third for its third weekend at the Japanese box office. Demon Slayer is at number two, but yeah.
number two.
So yeah, it opened at number one and knocked Demon Slayer off the top, but by that point, Demon Slayer had done the majority of its run. Fair enough. It's doing well, and I'm hoping that means it will do well internationally too.
Fingers crossed. I don't feel like it'll do as well as Demon Slayer did here.
It won't do as well in the US market as Demon Slayer, but I still think it's going to earn them a lot of money, which is good.
Yes, for sure.
So that's the important thing. All right, let's move on to less controversial stuff, though. Depending on who you ask, this is controversial. Trigun Stampede's Part 2, called Trigun Stargaze, has been confirmed for release in 2026 January.
And the thing that people are most excited about by the poster,
Millie Thompson's back! Yes! She's the really tall girl with the insanely big gun who we didn't see at the start.
Yeah, I remember her. But it's just... No. So that's in the Japanese season. Mm-hmm. And so is Witch Hat Atelier, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is. We've got some news
this
on Witch Hat
gonna
as well.
This is going to be a great January.
Mm-hmm. so yeah, and Million Knives has got Ryuji Sato voicing them. Obviously, because
reprising the role.
Well, it's got to be the adult version now, so slightly different. This trailer is a lot more goofy and in line with the original series because Stampede is the prequel. It's the drama that Vash went through and why he got the bounty on his head. And then this is kicking off where the actual story starts in the manga.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that, like, it starts with Stampede and then it goes to the original Trigun and then this comes after. And I was like, so the original Trigun was canon?
The original Trigun was written when the manga hadn't been finished.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's the same sort of thing as Fullmetal Alchemist and Brotherhood. Like, this is Brotherhood of Trigun, but people hate it because it's CG. And it's like, are you kidding? This is Studio Orange. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, this isn't Gohan CG. This is good CG. Yeah.
Also, the stuff that goes into, like, especially what happened in Trigun Stampede, you need the CG.
You do.
Thing is,
A Million Knives especially.
I can almost sympathize with that point of view because, God damn it, the first Trigun in that classic style of animation is just beautiful.
Yeah, well, this is kind
it's
of set...
Just, I mean, yeah, you know, CGI is new and people are purists about this sort of thing, and understandably so. It doesn't feel like an anime.
They can be purist, but they're being purist without even watching it and just judging the book by the cover.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, guys, if you watched it, you'd understand what's going on.
It's good. I like the new Vash the Stampede, how he looks and all that kind of stuff. It's just...
Everyone's they turned Vash style. Into a twink, and it's like, dude, he's like...
Been a twink.
Yeah, like you were not paying attention.
He was more 90s twink at that point.
Boy band twink.
Yeah.
Now he's modern twink.
He was NSYNC and now he's more fashion.
Also the thing as well is that during Stampede, he's young. He's younger than we've ever seen him. So, of course, he's going to be youthful and, you know, a little bit unsure of himself. The new series is set 2.5 years after the end of the first one, which, you know, plays in with the original storyline as well.
Grows out of his twink status.
He does.
He's a twunk.
Oh, no. He's becoming an ambush.
But it also explains how we get Millie and Meryl, who now look a lot older and more mature. Because Meryl, if you remember,
Looked like a kid.
Yeah. So now they're closer to the age that they were in the original series, which is, I think, 21, 22.
It also explains why she's like... Because in Stampede, she was...
intern.
Yeah, for a newspaper guy.
Yeah.
A reporter.
Yeah, yeah.
And like in the original, she was insurance.
Yes. Yep. They are. So, yeah, it's it'll be really good. But... I'm looking forward to it, and everyone's going to whinge again. It's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, but that's what people do best.
It's what they do worst.
Give it a chance, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Moving on, Summer Hikaru died. Anime's got a second season. I can't remember if we did mention that in the last time. It was around the time I last.
This would be the winter that Hikaru was still dead.
Yeah. Aniplex USA has also revealed that they are going to do a screening on November 11 and 13 for the upcoming Clockwork Girl of episode of the Virgin Punk original anime coming out next year.
I've seen the footage for that. It
looks good.
Oh, it looks good.
It's Shaft, so you know, we haven't seen a good Shaft anime for a while. You're it is still underneath right. Aniplex, so
let's talk about Shaft.
Just talking about Shaft. Ooh. Damn right, that man's got it. Yeah, this is going to be good. It's a never-before-seen featurette exploring the creation of the anime. It's going to be shown in theatres throughout the United States on November 11 and 13 with dub and non-dub.
Last time I saw a featurette talking about the anime was when Crunchyroll did that original High Guardian Spice.
Yeah. No, this is fine. This is from Japan and sent over.
Hold on, flashback.
No. So at the moment, the film has opened theatrically in Japan back in June. We haven't had the international release date yet. Hopefully that means soon. Mm-hmm. Oh, hang on. Wait, what? First story. I am confused. First story. I'm confused. I'm dead. Anime Studios Death, the original series. So there is a series coming, and there's also a... Oh, okay. There's a series, and then there's this feature as well. So the series is meant to premiere early summer 2025, which is meant to be now. But obviously that hasn't happened. So let me see. Do we have a
Well, you might have to talk to our people about that.
Yeah. Because we know it. We know it went to cinemas. But like there's meant to be a connection to this. Yeah, the series as well. I don't know what's going on here. First story. Oh, it's a Virgin Punk series of films. That's right. So, yeah.
Okay. So it's not a series and it's not a film. It's a series of films.
It's a series of short-ish films. So,
like the Animatrix.
No, longer than the Animatrix. So we're looking about like 45 minutes to an hour per film.
Okay.
So they're like...
So like features. OVAs.
Yeah. Actually, OVA is the perfect explanation. It's just that they're taking it to the cinema. So, yeah.
OVAs in the cinema.
I know, right?
Oh. Digimon. Digimon. Digimon.
Yep. Kenny's head hurts. Moving right along. Doro Hetero's sequel has been confirmed for spring 2026.
I really need to catch up with that. That show is drugs.
Yeah, it is. It's been a long time since we watched it. It was previously meant to debut in 2025, but it's been delayed. So spring, that would be April next year, theoretically. The first season debuted in 2020.
And it's
a fitting film for the year.
It's just so much fun, that show.
It was.
Just the OP as well is just madness. I love it.
Mm-hmm. And we've also got an update on the finale that is in the final core of Fire Force. The last quarter is going to air in January, and the item for the display already shows a rather suspicious and familiar looking Mew.
Hey.
Which shows the direct connection to Soul Eater.
My man.
So, yeah. This, for those unaware, Fire Force is a prequel to Soul Eater, which has been...
Which is mad.
It's mad, but it makes a lot of sense in like the context. It's good, though.
So good.
Also, the guy, actually, I don't know if that's a guy or the person supervising, Sei Tsugata, did Undead Unluck, Build Divide 00, Code Black, Skate the Infinity Extra Part, and a few other bits and pieces.
I need to rewatch Skate the Infinity. It was wonderfully gay. I need to watch
it
again.
I was going
to
say, are you sure?
It was fabulous.
I loved Cherry and I loved Joe. I shipped them so hard.
All right, where am I in the list of things?
It's just, did you watch the dub for it?
No.
That's terrible. I love it.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. All right, well, moving on. Another quick bit of news. Hell's Paradise Part 2 has been... Season 2 has been confirmed, and that should be in... Actually, we don't have a date, but it's going to be on Prime Video, Netflix, and Luminio streaming services in Japan. Hell's Paradise is one of the, you know, the dark shonen trilogy.
Shonen.
January. January's looking real good. We did say this on the preview.
God, damn.
Yeah.
Next year's our year.
Yeah.
Yes. At last.
And Gals Can't Be Kind to Otaku? Manga is getting an anime in 2026. This is on my read list as well. It's unlikely friendship between an otaku and a gal. Like, yeah. It's basically, yeah. Don't tease me, Nagatoro sort of thing. But
So I know what Kyle's pick is.
But not as... teasy, if that makes sense. It's just they're friends and they're both different. So, it's really cute, but they don't have a format for it. So they haven't announced whether it's going to be a feature, an OVA, whether it's going to be directly like to Netflix, whether it'll be short form, long form, because it is a gag manga. It's good fun. It's a I've read the first couple of chapters and it's good.
It could go Lover's War route, how it's just sort of like multiple little stories in one.
Mm. Man, I want Kaguya Summer Lover's War to come back. Like, hurry up, guys. Like, we know the stuff in the works, but hurry up. So, the Witch Hat Atelier has won Best Manga at the Harvey Awards for a second time in a row.
At last. Oh, wait, really?
Yep. Oh, good. So this
that's not the news you were expecting.
I mean, yeah, I'm just like, I want the anime now. I want to see what they have spent so much time polishing.
Yeah, there's a few of these that are on the list of things to read for me. The guy she was interested in wasn't a guy at all by Sumiko Arai. That's on my list to read. She's just like, you know, a moody girl in a hoodie, and she thought it was like an emo boy.
That's not a guy at all, is it, Steve?
The Summer Hikaru Died, also done quite well. Tokyo awesome. These Days, which is meant to be amazing. Windbreaker, which is not actually about gas.
Oh, dang it.
Oh, sorry. This is the second time the manga has won the award. These four were the ones it competed against. But Witch Hat Atelier won again. It won in 2020 as well.
Yeah.
Additionally, Webtoon Originals, Mafia Nanny, Morgana and Oz, and Castle Swimmer were nominated for the Digital Books of the Years alongside Resenta, a US comic by Gigi Murakami as part of Viz Media's one-shot program. However, Sarah Scribbles by Sarah Anderson won the award.
Sarah what now?
Sarah Scribbles. She's the one who does the little, like, the troglodyte girlfriend who's like, ah.
Oh, that. Oh,
she's
wow.
been on hiatus for 12 months.
Yeah, but
and she's come back and won an award. That's amazing. Well hell? Done, Sarah.
No.
Good job, Sarah Anderson.
Okay, but this is in a field where she's competing against manga and...
Well, she's competing against manga, but they're like original US comics. So, you know, even though, like, you know, a US comic by...
Actually, no, that does check out. US comics have the...
Well, I mean, look, outside of the major houses, it's pretty good. Like, Boom Studios, we keep saying this. If you're going to go into reading American comics right now, Boom Studios, really good. Who was the other one that did... There's, like, four independent labels that are phenomenal.
Not Image, no.
No, Image is still doing good.
Yeah.
Just... I'm trying to remember the one who does Massive Verse, which is the one which has got... I'm just going to have to look.
God damn it. It's completely slipped my mind. I haven't been up to date with comics as I should be.
Massive Verse by Cowl. It's got Radiant Black, Rogue Sun, Inferno Girl Red, Dead Lucky, and several other spin-offs. Oh, that's by Image as well.
Oh.
So there you go. But yeah, like there's a few new alternative hero universes which are much better and more interesting and deal with much more interesting themes than Marvel has been for the past decade.
I mean, that's not hard.
I know it's not hard.
Yeah, look at Invincible.
Yeah.
Dodge the corpos, people.
Yeah. But yeah. Worth checking out. We should probably do like a Wi-Fi extra explaining all that somewhere, but yeah, whatever.
Not for that.
And we also have a bit of manga news. So one of these is funny and one of them's fantastic. So do you remember how there was the Dororo manga anime in 2018 and we loved it? There was a remake manga of it which continued alongside it. It has just finished in its 13th volume. So it's The Legend of Dororo and Hakimaru, the remake manga of the original Dororo as that more adult-oriented story, which is great. So that's just finished up. Seven Seas Entertainment are releasing it internationally for English language. So obviously, if you want to get a copy, that's who to go through.
Dororo was a fantastic piece of work.
It's one of my favorite anime of all time. So it's so good. And then... Gushing Over Magical Girls is returning on October 17th after being offline since March 2024.
It doesn't have to.
It really should, though. It's hilarious.
Absolutely.
And so unhinged. But not for the kids. definitely not for the kids.
Ask Mommy and Daddy if you can...
Wi-Fi Radio.
Well, that's where we're going to leave things for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Next episode is our annual Halloween episode, as chosen by our Patreon members.
Spooky.
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is yet. I'm leaving it as a surprise for you all, because we're going to be surprised when I look at it tomorrow to find out what the final result is.
It's going to be Mewtwo. It's number 150.
Oh, yeah. It is also our 150th episode, which is, 150th core episode. We're at like 165, including extras.
This is a cause for celebration, my boy.
Is this cause for Aaron to go get golden party hats again?
Oh,
I just threw those away, by the way.
That's like 2 years ago. But it wouldn't be on brand as well. It's spooky. It's Halloween. And Emma's going to do up the studio all
so
spooky.
So you need to paint them black.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
I'll go to a bread top and get a goth cake.
A goth cake. I like that. If you haven't enjoyed what you've heard, subscribe, hit the like stuff. This episode, the subscribe and like buttons have a flashback hidden behind it. Oh god. Everyone's staring off in the distance, confused, seeing their families. If you're listening on YouTube, let us know what you thought of the Demon Slayer movie in the comments section below and what your rating is. Like, there's a lot to like.
Have flashbacks in the comments. Just write a flashback. It doesn't even need to be yours.
I had a flashback of my father's time in the war. What?
You're never too young to have a Vietnam flashback.
Actually, my brother-in-law did that for a year. So Emma's brother, I found out about this when we were visiting her folks the other day. He heard a story from Grandpa about the bombing of London and turned it into a speech that he had to do for drama in year 8. And they're sitting in the audience going, why does this sound so familiar? And then the bombing starts. They're like, he's telling Granddad's story? What's going on?
That is awesome.
And it's just like Barry sitting there like, what the hell, Reese? Good times. As always, big thank you to our Patreon members. If you'd like to support the show, head over there. It gets you to vote on things like the next episode, though I believe by the time this goes out, the voting will have been closed. But for $1 a month, you can get access to all the pre-show content, which is additional episodes, outtakes, stuff we talk about before the show.
More flashbacks.
It's the cost of less than an instant coffee.
Well, it's like, I love how everyone's like, it's less than a coffee a month, and I'm sitting there going, it's a coffee.
I'm Australian. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. That's like $7.
Like, if you're asking me to choose, I'm going to choose a coffee.
This is one
caffeine.
Australian dollar a month, by the way. So I think for the US, that's like 50 cents at the moment.
Yeah.
So our US listeners,
it's even better for you. You're getting a good deal.
Yeah. But you can access that for major show updates as well if you just want to follow along. And there's socials. We're not on Twitter/X because it's dead anyway. But that's what it is. It is what it is. But the important thing, we are going to be at HoshiCon. I cannot stress this enough. We're going to remind you again. We'll be at HoshiCon November 29th and 30th. We'll be on the main stage both days doing a big anime quiz for an hour. Come join us. Have a laugh. Have a giggle. We'll be giving away prizes.
I would like to beg we have rehearsal the night before.
To test it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this time we are going to have time because I'm not running everything.
True.
So we'll be able to sit down and go through all the quiz questions, come up with them. We'll start on that in the next month. Get that all ready to go, and then we'll be good to go. Because it was goofy and it was fun.
Are we doing dress rehearsals?
No.
Oh.
No, we don't want to ruin
save
the surprise.
The cat made outfits.
Yes. If you want to see Aaron the cat made outfit, come to HoshiCon. That's
a selling point.
Yeah, come to Western Australia to our very relatively small convention.
Make a trip over just for this.
I'd say convention-wise size, Hoshi rates up there.
Has grown significantly.
And also there are interstate guests and people coming to it because Hoshi now does nightclub events all around the country. So people are like, you're doing a convention as well with a music venue? Hell yeah, let's go. So,
yeah, because I'm pretty sure they're also doing the after party.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's running much later. So it's starting at 12 and finishing at 8 p.m. And they've got an outdoor music stage. It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun. Anyway, you'll find us there. That's 2 months away. Get your tickets now.
Not even.
Links in the description. It's going to be great. That's kind of it. We'll see you in 2 weeks for Halloween because, there is a high possibility this year's Halloween episode might be about ecchi horror. So
it's going to be naughty.
So goodbye, Halloween.
No. Anyway, you've been listening to Quiet-Fi Radio. Thank you for joining us. I do apologize for Aaron. And until next time, watch some anime! You're gonna kill me, man.
Look, death by laughter, is it really that bad?